throughout the Mishkan. There's a great machlokas between Rashi and Ban, which is also machlokas in the Medrash and the Zohar. When was the mitzvah given to Klai Yisrael? According to the Ramban, the Zohar, it's the way it is. It's, in other words, it was right after Matan Torah, that last, on the day that they heard the Ten Commandments, the same day Moshe was given the mitzvah to tell the Jewish people to build a Mishkan. Or at least Moshe was told himself in Mishkan. Then you had the 40 days on the mountain, the Egel. So there was a sort of a delay. And then after the whole thing, Hashem finally forgave the Jews somewhat. So the mitzvah became operative. It wasn't a new mitzvah. Vayakel Pekudei. Not a new mitzvah, it's the mitzvah, but the same mitzvah which was given to Jewish people, or Moshe, to tell the Jewish people right after Aseres Hadibros, the Mishkan. However, Rashi and Medrash disagree. They say that this was a mitzvah after the Egel. It was a kind of kind of mitzvah of a reconciliation between the Ribono Shel Olam, the Jewish people. They were given the mitzvah of the Mishkan. So now, question is, according to Rashi, if this whole mitzvah is a result of the Egel, so then what would have been, how would there have been a relationship with the Ribono Shel Olam? Let's say there would never have been an Egel, you wouldn't have had this particular form of the mitzvah of the Mishkan. So what would be the, you wouldn't have to build it the way it was spelled out now. This was a result of the myth of the Aveir of the Chet HaEgel and the subsequent Shuvah of Klai Yisrael. So if you wouldn't have had this whole episode of the Egel, there would have been some other relationship between the Kodesh Baruch Hu and Am Yisrael. It wouldn't have been through this physical structure of the Mishkan. So you wonder what would it have been? What would it have been? So that's one. This is one issue. The other issue which he wants to talk about is. How did the Jewish people actually get to the merit of having such a thing like a Mishkan? A Mishkan is literally, like I heard from the Rav once, he gave a speech, a beautiful speech, how the Mishkan, the Beis Hamikdash, is real. It's, in other words, a Kodesh. God lives in that house. You have God as your neighbor. So obviously, if you live next door or even in the same neighborhood with Hashem, all kinds of amazing things are going to be taking place, which actually we know did take place in Mishkan, Beis Hamikdash, Yerushalayim. There were miracles all the time. In the Mishkan, the Aron HaKodesh, for example, you didn't have to carry it, it floated in the air, you just held on to it. The Mishkan itself was a miracle. Many things. Well, one of the miracles he points out is that there are only 8 wagons to carry 96 huge beams, each of which was laden with gold. So only two oxen were carrying each of the wagons. So it turns out that you would have in each wagon 24 beams. And each beam was 10 amas high and completely covered with pure gold. It must have weighed 10 amas, an amas 15 feet at least. So 15 foot high beam completely plated with solid gold. Could have weighed 1,000, 2,000 pounds, a ton. 10 foot high pole, completely plated with gold. And the pole itself was solid wood, which is also very heavy. So you had each of these beams may weigh 1,000 pounds, let's say. And you put 12,000 pounds on one wagon. It was being pulled by two oxen. Two oxen can pull 12,000 pounds in the sand of the desert. There's not a road, it's in sand, rocks. How's it shine? He says the whole thing is obviously a miracle. So it was a miracle. So the thing is just one miracle on top of the other miracle. So what was the merit? How did Jewish people get such a miracle to happen for them? So he says about, we see the Chazal say that the whole donation, the whole response of the Jews to give all this gold and silver and copper and wood, and the whole thing took 2 days. In 2 days they gave all of this. Tons and tons of gold, tons and tons of silver. 2 days they gave all of this, so it was a response which was also miraculous. Now you probably don't know that much, but I unfortunately know that fundraising, when you do fundraising for a project, you never get 100% response. Everybody's going to donate. And you certainly don't get the donors to give 100% of effort, maximum donations. Usually 1% responds, and the 1%, another 1% gives a maximum donation. And here you got every Jew to give maximum. It was 100% response and 100% maximum donations. Otherwise, how do they do this in 2 days to raise all that amazing amount of money? So it means like this. It means that Klai Yisrael, the Jewish people, were displaying, had such an overwhelming feeling of love for the Rebbeinu Shleila. They wanted to display. They had this an incredible outpouring of love, and of a connection to him. So they gave everything that they could give. And as quickly as they could. Mail in 2 days, he had everything. All the gold, all the tons and tons of gold, and many, many more tons of silver. It all came in. Everybody was running to give, and everybody gave the maximum that they could give. It was a tremendous ava. So now, where did all this ava Hashem come from? The Mishkan was a result of Avos Hashem. Tremendous love. A universal. Every Jew. Yunav, Azokain, Tat, Anoshim. Every single Jew felt wants to give the maximum he can give for Hashem. Where did this come from? This unbelievable Abba. So actually he says, we have to now analyze the source of Abba Hashem. The root cause, a stimulus for Abba Hashem. He says, if you think about it, there could be two different root causes. One cause could be inspiration. You have certain experiences where you see or you experience Hashem is giving you, Hashem is reaching out to you, He's supporting you, He's showing you His immense, tremendous greatness. So you feel a tremendous attraction because Hashem is Baruch. He's very attractive. He's inspiring. It's an inspiring thing. It's an inspiration. So this is one way. You hear a good Hallel, Shchodesh. It's a good Hallel. You have a good, tremendous Mesibas Rosh Chodesh. With great Nigunin, and Avos Chaverim, and Avos. So Avos Hashem, you get uplifted to have Avos Hashem. This is one. Then, sometimes it comes from a completely opposite side. A person has a tremendous, he's very, very distant from Hashem. He's a sinner, he did bad things, or unfortunately life is not working out the way he wants it, he has a lot of trouble, a lot of pain, but he feels very far from Hashem. So he does some kind of tshuva, does some kind of a reaction to this distance from Hashem. Desperately wants to get close to Hashem. He turns to Hashem in desperation from a feeling of being alone, loneliness. This is what will pull him to Hashem. It's the movement of the Baal Tshuva, because he feels so distant. Where he's coming from, he has this tremendous yearning to find Hashem. As the Chumash says, "Ba'achus Hayamim," will be very distant. Will be in the four corners of the world. Will feel isolated from Hashem, distant from Hashem, suffering because of your Jewishness. So, "V'kashtem misham," it's Hashem l'kachem matzasa. He said, "Yishanim u'cholavav u'chomav shachem." You will search for him because you feel so helpless without him. So this is the other movement. The other movement. It comes from tshuva. So one movement to Hashem, one kind of Avos Hashem comes through his Ovus, inspiration, a closeness, to Hashem Yisbarach. This is one way in which we discover and develop Avas Hashem through Skavus, closeness to Hashem. The other way is really the other way, through Hisrachkus, because people are far away from Hashem. And they have a terrible feeling of emptiness. So this motivates them to seek Hashem. So Mamela, we understand now, Machlokas, between the Medrash, with Rashi on one side, and the Zohar, and Ramban on the other side. When was the mitzvah of the Mishkan given to Klai Yisrael? Right after Aseres HaDibros, the Shitas Ramban Bazohar, or right after the Egel, the Shitas Rashi and the Medrash. So if it's right after Aseres HaDibros, Ramban, before the Egel, then it's a function of closeness to Hashem, of being inspired by Him, being inspired by one's sense of being close. That was the first. That's the Mishkan before the Egel. That's the Shita of Rabban. The Shita of Rashi, that the Mishkan is after the Egel. It's through developing Avos Hashem through His Rachkus, through Chet, punishment, and Tshuva as a result of that. That's the other kind of Mishkan, the other kind of Avos Hashem. Machlokas, which Avos Hashem, was it the Avos Hashem of being close to Hashem, which engendered the Mishkan, or was it Avos Hashem for being distant from Hashem, after Yegel, that created the Mishkan? Now, Shemishmo says that in his humble opinion, both opinions are correct. Rashi's Ramban is correct, there's a Mishkan before the Egel, and Rashi's correct, there's a Mishkan after the Egel. Because really, what is the Mishkan? V'osali Mikdash, the Mishkan is a way of Kedusha getting into Am Yisrael. It's a source of Kedusha. Hosli Mikdash v'shachanti b'socham. The Shechina is b'socham, is in Am Yisrael. There's a Mikdash, it's a source of Kedusha. That's the Mishkan. So therefore, Kedusha has many levels. Kedusha has many levels. You know it says in the Pasuk, Kedoshim Tiyu. You're supposed to be a holy nation, a holy people. But clearly, no one can expect all the Jews to achieve the same level of Kedusha. Kedoshim Tiyu. It's completely unrealistic. The Torah mandate that every Jew be as holy as Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu went to the top of the mountain. He spoke to Hashem for 120 days. He was way closer to the Kodesh Baruch Hu and having dialogue with Him more than the angels. So, can anyone have the Kedusha of Moshe Rabbeinu? Every Jew in the world can have a Kedusha like Moshe Rabbeinu? I don't think so. So the Teretz is, the Kedoshim Tiyu is multi-layered. It's a mitzvah to be Kadosh, but it depends on me. It's a subjective mitzvah. Be Kadosh. Do special things to display your holiness.
And it depends. If you're Moshe Rabbeinu, what's expected of you is a certain kind of Kedusha, very, very high and exalted. If you're not Moshe Rabbeinu, it's a lower level. It's Kedusha, but it's not the level of Moshe Rabbeinu. Shem Shmuel doesn't mince any words. He explains what was the mitzvah of Kedoshim, of being Kadosh from Moshe Rabbeinu. What was the mitzvah? So the very, it was a famous idea in Chassidus. You know, Mesilas Hashem says that the main purpose of life, he says, is to be have Dveikus Hashem, to get close to Hashem. So that's the main purpose. But the question is,
why should
I want to be close to Hashem? He says that's the number one purpose of being alive, to get close to Hashem. But why should a person want to do that? What's the motivation to do that? He doesn't really say the Mesilas Yesharim. He just says this is the given. To get close to Hashem is the purpose of life, and I'm going to show you, he says, a system, a certain X number of steps if you study and do and you get close to Hashem. And that's the purpose of life. So study my book, Mesilas Yesharim. I'm giving you the blueprint of how to get close to Hashem, which is the purpose of life. But the question is, why should I get close to Hashem? What do I need it for? So the answer to that question is because I was created with that need. Just like I was created with a need for physical food to live, I was created with a need to have air in order to be alive. I was created with a need for water. So I was also created with the need to be close to Hashem. In fact, in the spiritual realm, that need is the most important. Just like in the physical arena, what's the most important need? Oxygen. If I didn't have oxygen, God forbid, if a person doesn't have oxygen, he could die in a few minutes. It's more important than food. It's more important than water. You need oxygen the most. So that's the most important need. So therefore, in the spiritual arena, we also have needs. What's the most important need? Closeness to Hashem, an awareness of Hashem. Without that, we're spiritually very, very, very sick. It's called the brink of death, because we don't even think we have a need to be close to Hashem. If a person doesn't feel like breathing, he's pretty close to death. So a person doesn't want to be close to Hashem, he doesn't want to breathe spirituality. So he's basically a spiritually dead person. So if a person says, I'm going to follow the Mesilas Yesharim guidebook. You say, why? Well, it's a guidebook to help me get close to Hashem. You say, well, why do I want to be close to Hashem? Because I want to be alive. I don't want to be dead. And being close to Hashem keeps me alive. You say, you want to be close to Hashem to stay alive. And why do you want to be alive? I like being alive. I enjoy it. It's good. I like it. So it means that all you're doing close to Hashem, mitzvahs, and davening is in order for you to enjoy it. And you feel good about it. So at the end, your motivation is you. You're doing it for yourself. So it's selfish motivation. self-centered. It's not. It can't be the goal. A person should. His whole life is to serve himself. Okay, he serves himself by serving Hashem, but at the end of the day, he's the reason for serving Hashem because it's good for him. He wants to have a good life. Not the highest level. So he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, in his level of serving Hashem, he took himself completely out of the picture. He didn't do it because it made him feel good, because it's good for his spiritual development. It's a guarantee to get to the world to come, Olam Haba, all of these wonderful things serving Hashem give an individual. These are the motivations of the regular Jew. For me and you, this is great. I wish that all of us would serve Hashem because we know this is the way that we would become more spiritually developed. For us, it's a perfect motivation, but not for Moshe Rabbeinu. For Moshe Rabbeinu, it cannot be his limit for himself. That's why it says in Rashi, it says, "V'yered Moshe min ahar el ha'am." So Rashi writes, it says he came down from the mountain and went to the nation. So if Rashi, Lamed Shepana Measakov, Lopana Elasakov, Bahalachalah. When Moshe came down from the mountain, he was 40 days on the mountain. He did a lot of things, a lot of mail, 40 days worth of mail, a lot of bills to pay, a lot of things, a lot of email. A lot of voice messages. 40 days. Oh, he didn't go take care of that. He went to the Am. That's what Rashi writes. The Shemesh Shmuel says, you can't read the Rashi in a simple way. That Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take care of his email, didn't take care of his letters, his phone messages. He had to go take care of Am Yisrael. That's not true. From Moshe Rabbeinu, this was his thing, to take care of Am Yisrael. I mean, of course he's going to put Am Yisrael ahead of selling stocks, buying stocks. What's the chiddush? You need a pasuk, v'yeid meshem El Ha'am, that he went to the Am. Shemesh Shmuel says Pshat and Rashi is different. Chas v'shalom. Rashi is not talking about Moshe Rabbeinu's personal, physical, financial interests. That's not even something to discuss about. And Shmuel and Novi said, or Moshe Rabbeinu himself says, "Achamo echad mehem lakachti." I was ever involved in business with anybody. I'm not interested. It means like this. Moshe Rabbeinu, like every good Jew, should have been interested in his own personal spiritual development. He should have been motivated. I've got to feel more spirituality. I have to feel a closeness. I have to find Hashem Mizbach because it's good for me. This is my fundamental need, like oxygen. Is my physical need. Dveikus Bashem is my spiritual need. That's my number one priority. Now, if taking care of Am Yisrael helps me advance this Dveikus of Bashem, this doing with Son Hashem idea, good. But if for some reason taking care of Am Yisrael is going to hurt my own spiritual development, no. My own personal spiritual development is number one. If I could make a chavrusa with an MTA high school boy at night, then I'm not going to develop personally, spiritually, learning wise and waste precious time that I could use for myself spiritually, not give it away for the MTA high school boy. No? If I wouldn't learn with that high school boy, I'd be watching the movies and Morgan Stern Lounge. And instead of watching movies in Morgan Stern Lounge, I learn with an MTA boy. Good, because that helps me develop spiritually, so I do that. But if the alternative is I could be studying the Rav's Chidushim and the Rambam, or I read a Mishnah with an MTA boy, I'd rather study the Rav's Pshat and the Rambam than because it's better for me than to learn with the MTA boy. Rosh Rabbeinu didn't have that cheshbon, shemesh mitzvah. Panela ma'asaka v'alam! Never thought about my own spiritual development. Never thought if I study this or do that, I'm going to climb the ladder of spirituality. I'll get closer to Hashem. This is my purpose in this world. This is why I was designed. Joy. This is for the best thing for me. Like air. Oxygen. No. Kedoshim Tiyu! Give it up. Give up. What you think is best for you, be kadosh. Move away from it. Do what's right. Nothing to do with you. It has to do with what Be'enei Elokim Ve'odom. What Hashem says is right. What people say is right. Not what you think is right. You don't exist for yourself. You exist completely to serve Hashem, even if you gain nothing out of it. In fact, you lose by it. You exist to serve Him. And if His infinite wisdom, He decided that you're Moshe Rabbeinu, you give up the big argument. Actually, when He met Hashem in the first place, for the first 7 days, that's what He was arguing. He kept on saying, I'm the wrong man. Shlach no b'yad tishlach. For me, this is not the right road for spiritual development. I am accomplishing more by being a shepherd and have nothing to do with anybody else. I accomplish more for myself just by being alone and pondering your greatness here in the desert and praying and meditating. What do you want to get me involved with people? People distract me. People take me away from my focus. Most things people want me to do is stupid. Wasting time with them. I'd rather just do my own spiritual thing. Why do I need this? That's what he was arguing for 7 days. Hashem finally made him go. That's it. Moshe Rabbeinu developed. He developed. He became greater than when he was when he first met Hashem in the desert. He moved beyond himself. His kadoshim ti of Moshe means he went away from his own spirituality only for Hashem. And give up everything for Hashem. So, that's his kedoshim to you. However, any regular, simple Jew like me would try to do that, I'd probably fail. Because it's a level which is way beyond me. I have to think that I'm doing things to serve Hashem because I benefit by it. It's good for my nefesh, it's good for my ruach, it's good for my neshama. And I have a negius. I have a personal interest that my nefesh, ruach, and neshama should develop the right way. I want it to be good. I'm interested in myself. For every Jew, this is great. Alavai, every Jew in the world would say, I want to develop myself because it's good for me spiritually to be a holier Jew, a better Jew, and therefore I'm going to follow the rules of the Torah because it's good for my own spirituality. Wow, he said, that is great. That's v'ahavta Hashem lokecha v'chol levavcha v'chol nashcha v'chol miyodecha. For your lev, your nefesh, your miyodecha, it's good for you. This is a good madrega, but this is not the madrega of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is a different kedoshim to you. his kedoshim to you is not to give this up also for Hashem. Nothing for himself. Not even dveikus. Not even tzidkus. Nothing. Just ratzon Hashem. So, this is his kedoshim to you. It's a level which most of us don't understand. We can't even relate to it. We can just say what it is, but don't have a feeling for what it is.
How did he still manage to become great, though? He was never thinking about himself.
Because that's when you become really great. You become great by doing what Hashem wants. You become greater than if you do it because you want it. It's completely lishma. It's the level, the Rambam calls it, the level of Avraham. Avraham and Moshe Rabbeinu. And Rambam writes, lo kol ish, v'afilu lo kol chacham, zocha l'chach. Certainly, the average Jew never gets to this, and not even most Talmid HaChacham. Only a few tzaddikim here and there. Avraham, Moshe Rabbeinu. Anybody who's interested in serving Hashem in this way, I recommend that you study Torah of Chabad. The Torah of Chabad works very hard on this. Try to get to this kind of avodas Hashem, where a person doesn't do it for his own dveikus, just for Hashem. It's a Chabad. But lo kol chacham zocha l'chach, not even great chachamim zocha l'chach. Most chachamim, Rambam writes, do it for themselves, because they need it like oxygen. So it's a different kedoshim to you. So what's the kedoshim to you for every other Jew? Of course he has the vekus. The kedoshim to you is he gives up his financial benefits in order to serve Hashem. Let's say in your case, instead of going to graduate school right away after college, he spends 3-4 years getting smicha. He gives up money in order to serve Hashem better. This is for himself. He gives it up for himself. For his spiritual self, he gives up the physical self. So it's harder physically, it's not so pleasant financially. Sit in the yeshiva after college, but his benefit is outweighs his losses. He loses financially, which is his bank account, and he gains spiritually for himself. This is our kedoshim too. This is the kedoshim too of the everyday Jew. The Jew closes his store on Shabbos, so he gives up a day's income in order to have spiritual dveikus b'Hashem. That's our kedoshim to you. Moshe Rabbeinu's kedoshim to you is much different. It's a different kind of kedoshim to you. It's giving up even the dveikus in order to serve Hashem. Now, just like we see that in the mitzvah of kedoshim to you, everybody has his level of kedusha, and everybody has what's expected of him to move up in the ladder of kedusha. Where I have to go up is me. You have to go up as you. Moshe Rabbeinu goes up where he is. The ladder of kedushim to you. This is for the yechidim. This is the mitzvah of kedusha for each yachid. Each yachid, in his own way, gives up something. And this giving it up is produces kedusha. I want to say, you should know, in general, when I tell people, I think you should do A, B, C, or not do D, E, F, I try very hard to be careful only to say things that I myself have done. So I'm not a hypocrite. I don't want to tell people to do things that I myself would never do or didn't do. So I try always to say things I did. So I say to people, stay in the yeshiva longer, don't go out. Stay longer in yeshiva. It's because that's what I did. I could have gone out earlier, I stayed in yeshiva longer. I say, give up certain kinds of careers because they're going to hurt you spiritually. Because I did it. I gave up certain careers because I wanted to have more spirituality, connection to Hashem, to spend more time learning Torah. And I took my job as a Rebbe in YU. I was at that time a full-time teacher in City College. I literally took a 50% pay cut to leave City College and come to YU. It was a full 50% pay cut. Same amount of time, same amount of work, and pay for the same position, whatever, a teacher in the college. I was teaching mathematics in City. I came to YU, was hard to teach Torah, but teachers here of Torah are called the college faculty. So I got a 50% pay cut. Baruch Hashem. It's the best decision. One of the best decisions of my whole life. So therefore, when I tell you, give up panasa, a certain amount of panasa, I'm not going to tell a person not to make a living at all, like the rabbis in Israel will tell you. Just learn. Don't make even one penny a year. Don't work. You'll find money will come to you by itself. That's what they tell them in Israel. There are about 100,000 people in Kollel who are listening to the rabbis. Somebody has some kind of a connection to heaven, because these 100,000 people and their families are living without any work. But I never say that to anybody, because I didn't do that. I always worked. But I say, pick the job that has less income, but will maximize your spiritual opportunities. Which basically means more time off the job. You have more time to be off the job. More time to come to the yeshiva, base medrash, shul. More time to spend with your children, raising them and doing the mitzvah of chinuch. Cut down the hours of work, and even if it involves a substantial loss of income, because the increase of the spiritual opportunities are worth all the financial losses. This should be your kedusha. This was not for Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have even a second thought, or even a first thought, or even a partial thought that he has to worry about or think about money or this or that. That was never part Moshe Rabbeinu's problem. Moshe Rabbeinu had a different problem. His spiritual development was a selfish, let's not call it selfish, but it was self-centered. And he had to get away from that self-centered aspect that my spiritual development is important for me. No, it's not important for me. For Moshe Rabbeinu, this was his kedoshim to you. He didn't do anything for himself, not even Torah mitzvahs. Everything was for Hashem. The man Shemo, Ba'ava, only the Shemo. This is the level of Avraham, Moshe. Rambam calls it a special, highest level. Now, just like we see that in the realm of the Kedusha Atzmus, the Kedusha of the Yachid, the different kinds of Kedusha, different levels of Kedusha, the same thing is true about the Kedusha of the Tzibur, of Am Yisrael. And specifically, the idea of the Mishkan. The idea of the Mishkan, B'Shachanti B'Socho, is to produce Migdash, to produce Vasuli Migdash, a source of holiness for Am Yisrael. Could be very high holiness for the Klal, something like Moshe Rabbeinu's level for the Prat. Or it could be not so high in the cloud. It could be a lower level. says this was the difference between the Mishkan before the Chet of the Egel and the Mishkan after the Chet of the Egel. The Mishkan before the Chet of the Egel was going to be very, very, very high exalted spirituality. It was going to be something like a piece of heaven, or something from heaven in this world, like the man. Man. Lechem Abirim. Food of the angels. Achalish. A person was eating in the man. There would be a Mishkan which would be completely non-worldly. Completely not physical. It would be there, but it would have almost nothing physical about it. It would be a complete spiritual construct. It would exist in the spiritual being of the Jews. But it wouldn't have a physical structure like Greece. You wouldn't be able to knock your hand on it. It would be there, but it would be beyond the physical. This was the first Mishkan before the Chet of Egel, when Klai Yisrael was like Adam HaRishon before the Chet, because at the Seres HaDibros everything was wiped away, and God said, you know what, we're going to start the world all over again. We're going to make believe it's not make believe. We're going to make everybody like Adam before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas. So at that point, to build the Mishkan meant a completely pure, exalted spirituality. There's nothing physical about it. But Hashem says, Kedoshim Tiyu. You have to give people options. You can't put everybody into the same box and expect everybody to get the same kind of a Kedusha. Everybody's Kedusha is individual and different. In the same way, the Mishkan, Mikdash, has many different possible forms. If the Jewish people remain on the level that they are now, right after their service of Dibros, before they ever dreamt of an Egel, it'll be a very, very exalted Mikdash. Very strong. If not, it becomes physical. That was what happened. Yes? I
have a question.
Oh, please.
Is it a different Zohar? A different
No, they would take the same Zohar and the same Nechoshes, and it would become spirituality. It would become Ruchnius.
The same.
Yeah, there was the same Zohar. Said Vicholi Zov, they would take the Zov, but
what it would become?
It would become completely different. It would become like even after the Chet of the Egel, when they built the Mishkan, the Aron HaKodesh looked physical, but it was completely spiritual because the Aron HaKodesh was completely was not subject to the laws of nature. The Aron HaKodesh defied the law of gravity. It floated in this air. It floated in the air. It didn't follow the laws of gravity. Also, the Aron HaKodesh did not follow the laws of space. It was too big to fit into the Kodesh Kodashim according to the regular concept of space. So it defied the idea of the law of space. It defied the law of gravity. This was after the Chet HaEgel. It was physical, but completely spiritual. And had they never sinned, everything in the Mishkan would have been something like the Aron HaKodesh. Everything in the Mishkan would have been beyond space and time and law, of natural law. They would have taken the Zohar of Kasav Nechoshes and produced a spiritual Mishkan in this world. So it means it would have been an amazing thing. But because they sinned in the Egel, so the rest of the Mishkan became more or less more regular, natural, physical, law-bound. And so a few things in the Mishkan and in the base of Mikdash were continuously breaking the laws of nature. This is why it says, Versus versus Mikdash. So now, you can say, that the first Mishkan before the Egel was a function and a result of inspiration. The Jews were so inspired by the Ribono Shel Olam's voice at Sinai, that they were ready to construct a Mishkan of pure Ruach, of pure spirituality, because it was a result of the inspiration of Sinai. But after the Egel, they lost everything. And they lost their whole connection with the Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then they did tshuva out of distance and out of a sense of breakdown. They were given the Mishkan again. But this Mishkan was a different Mishkan. This was a Mishkan of tshuva. Of uvikashtem misham, as Hashem lokecha mutzaza, kisidushem chalavav chanash chal mardecha, where you're far away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you need Him so badly that you beg to see Him and He lets you come closer. It's a process of reconciliation. It's a different kind of a Mishkan. It's a different Mishkan. It's a more physical Mishkan. Because it reflects tshuva from Chet. Mamela, as we said, there are two. So now we see that there are two basic platforms of the movement of man to God. One platform is inspiration, and the second platform is distance, loneliness, the sense of being abandoned, the seek Hashem. One is before the Chet, one's after the Chet. Mamela, this is the idea of Shabbos. There's a night of Shabbos and a day of Shabbos. The night of Shabbos is basically a result of tshuva. Shabbos is the letters of tshuva. Tashuv. Shabbos is the same three letters. Tshuva, Tashuv, Shabbos, all the same three letters. That's because of Friday. Friday, 6 days of Chol, I get so frustrated, I feel so far away. I need Hashem, like I have to breathe air. My soul is dying from the plain sacrilegious 6 days of the week. I need holiness, I need to find Him, because I'm choking to death from the 6 days of spiritual alienation. The Shabbos of Friday night. It's the Knesset to Shabbos at night. It's what the Pasuk calls Shamar. Shamar is night of Shabbos. This is the Shabbos of Tshuva. Then we have the Shabbos of day. The day of Shabbos. Following the night of Shabbos. It's a new Shabbos. It's a Shabbos of inspiration. I'm close from last night and I want to be even closer because I'm so inspired by Shabbos. There's a Shabbos of the Mishkan right after the Aseres HaDibros, before the Chet. It's a Shabbos of Aseres HaDibros. Zachar. It's a Zachar Yom HaShabbos HaKadosh. There are two kinds of Shabbos. There are two kinds of Mishkan. And there are two kinds of Kedusha. And this he says, you can also say, the Gemara keeps on saying, there's a Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala and a Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata. The Beis HaMikdash Shel Mala, which is in heaven, is a kedusha of inspiration, of his orus, of closeness to Hashem. The Shem Shemayim itself, for heaven's sake. Then we have the Beis HaMikdash Shel Mata of this world, where people need it, because otherwise people are choking to death spiritually. It's our own need. It's the Beis HaMikdash of after Chet. So, Rabotai, as we learn this amazing lesson from Shem Shmuel, let us pray and hope that we'll be zoche for the Mishkan We, of course, need the Mikdash. We have nothing. We don't have any base of Mikdash. Not before the Chet, not after the Chet, not Shalmalo, not Shalmata. We're completely lost. Dor Oved. It's a lost generation. The Dor Shel Shmad. Nebuch. So we pray to Hashem Yisbarach that we will be Zocher for any Mishkan. I'm happy to get a Mishkan after the Chet. And if it's Hashem, we'll go from Mala, Mala, Mala. First we'll get the Mikdash of Tshuva, the Vikashta Misham and Matzasa. And from there, we'll go to the base of Mikdash of Mala, the highest level of Dveikus B'Shem, the Shem Hashem, the Man Shemo, Bahava. Shabbos. Yes, Josh.
Can't Tshuva undo the Chet? Worst case. Why couldn't Mishkan be as great as it could have been if they did Tshuva?
They didn't do a full Tshuva, Shem Shmuel says. The Tshuva was also a very self-centered Tshuva. They were afraid of all the punishments. It wasn't complete. At the saw come to the Achim Zion, Ki Eis Lechenen Lo Kivam Oed. At the saw